Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily, featuring some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We have more live racing. I was going to say Cheltenham again. From Aintree. Yes, it's the Grand National Meeting. Four more live races. Plenty of chat with Rupert and Lizzie. We'll bring you what went on between us. We also spoke to Jake Lambert, comedian.
He was good, yeah. Some good fun.
Just gone his first tour. He's a big Tottenham fan. He was chatting about that. And we had a bit of a chat, didn't we? Bit of a chat about the football last night. So, here it all is.
Good afternoon, Paul. And I was really pleased to read about a new viral pastry treat. It was in the Sun today.
I know what you're going
to
say.
Yeah, it's set to storm the UK. It's a cookie croissant mashup. It's called the Crookie.
That's right.
And when you eat one, do you suddenly have great inside knowledge of the transfer market?
You do. That's one of the great options of it. It makes you incredibly well connected on the transfer scene. Of course, Alex Crook, of course, our chief football correspondent.
Crookie, don't they?
The thing is, the French are normally such food snobs, and it was a bakery in Paris, and some of the staff said, why don't we just kind of melt a cookie sort of into it, just for a bit of a laugh. And it worked, and it went viral on TikTok.
It's quite a heavy calorific treat,
Heavy calorific treat. It would weigh a bit heavy. So, what about, we're going to chat to Stan a little bit. Yeah, interesting
Some surprising nights. Results,
interesting
they, really?
Nights football. When I saw the Liverpool team, I know it wasn't wholesale changes, but there's that old thing of
first teamers.
Maybe there was a few, but you know, maybe start with your best team. Get the job done or make a start and then maybe make changes.
I think if they, you know, they
you
just...
You thought they had enough.
They had enough. And, you know, Darwin Núñez, he misses some chances, that boy, doesn't he? So, you know, if he'd put that one away, it was an easy chance, then, you know. Atlanta had Di Ketelaere.
Atalanta, rather. Yeah.
Di Ketelaere playing for them.
They did,
and
yeah.
And the fans like him coming off the bench. They always say, put Di Ketelaere on.
Is that what?
Polly.
Yeah.
Graham
Paul. If the manager, you want the manager to become, Luciano Polly to become the next. He reminds me of, I always think he's like Belgian. What's his name? The lead striker. I mean, mine's gone blank.
Patrick Bamford.
Yeah, he's like Belgian Bamford. That was Fletcher Clough Granville. Yeah, we were both
Brian
trying to
Bedonda.
Get there. He has got the Bamford. I wonder if he's grade 8 violin as well. Di Ketelaere. He's not really trained on, is he? He's not. I mean, everybody was going mad about him. I mean, he put that cross in last night. But when a player leaves your team and goes on and does stuff like that, you think, why did he never do it for us? And the amount of West Ham fans last night were saying, why did Scamacca never do that for us? I mean, you finished for the second.
He was good before he came and he was good after.
The third Atalanta goal was just so sloppy. It kind of summed Liverpool up on the night,
didn't it? They were off their game. It was interesting watching Bayer Leverkusen. I haven't seen them play before and... they're good, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they are good. they're pretty relentless.
So much confidence, though. If you want 41 game unbeaten run, you know, you're going to play with a lot of confidence.
Thing is, though.
Dynamic, though. Very dynamic.
I think losing Pakatar as well last night isn't great. For the second leg, he won't play in the second leg.
God, did he sulk, though, once he got that booking?
Yeah.
God, he was not happy.
It wasn't a Gazza at Italia 90, was it? But you wouldn't be at all surprised. They went out then got an early goal in a sort of full London stadium.
They should definitely have had a penalty. I don't know what these VARs are looking at. Michael Antonio's in the box. The bloke tried to take his shirt off twice before he actually wrestled him to the ground. I mean, what else is that other than a penalty?
No, I don't know.
It wasn't six or one, a half a dozen the other. It was just one bloke trying to wrestle the other bloke that he thought was going to beat him to the ground. Look at these VARs. You think, what are you looking at?
And the late Lille goal, we don't know if that's going to have an effect next week. We'll talk to Stan about that later on. But they were sort of coasting, really, Villa. But 2-1 becomes a bit more difficult away. But we shall see. The knock-on effect, really, of last night's results, or this week's results, is that, I think, as it stands, Germany are currently in the box seat for that fifth place in the Champions League, which doesn't actually matter to anybody now beyond Villa and Spurs fans.
Yeah.
But
no, it's crucial for that.
Did you see the SPL lost their automatic Champions League place yesterday?
Massively surprising. They haven't been brilliant in it, have they? Let's be honest.
It's a bit of a blow to the league, though, isn't it? I think it's the Czechia are going to be taking it on instead. They will get the automatic spot.
So. A strange thing to do. Really.
That can change up, of course. Anyway.
I was very intrigued, though, by an advert in the Sun this morning for a betting service with Alan Brazil, mocked up as a jockey.
Oh,
that's sensation, isn't it? You have to feel sorry for the horse.
Yeah. It's of the shyer variety, I would imagine.
Honestly.
Yeah. One for the handicappers.
Definitely not wearing those colours or that hat. It's just his face, basically.
No, it is indeed.
On a jockey's body.
Rob Cross from the World of Darts. We talk about the Luke Littler effect, and you mentioned that he's on the cover of Forbes and everything, you know, 50 under 50 or 30 to watch and all that. But Rob Cross says in the sort of few months since Luke Littler, he is getting recognised more. Life is becoming a little bit more difficult for darts players, you know, big darts players, but we're only really known to darts players. But a new audience has been brought to it. And so Rob Cross, like, he's in a hotel or he's in a bar and everybody knows who he is because they're seeing him on the telly.
That's
because they've
a good
tuned
thing,
in.
Isn't it?
Well, I guess so, yeah. I mean, he did say he's not complaining. I'm sure he won't as the increased checks come in. He said, you go out to dinner and people want to talk to you. It's a lot different than it was even 6 months ago. Luke has brought a massive new audience to the game. We're getting attention like Premier League footballers. It's something we've all got to adapt to. But if you've been fairly anonymous in life, it's you know, you're making good money, you're a professional sports person, yet nobody really mithers you. But that seems to be changing. The Luke Littler effect, Andy.
He's really doing well, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's backed up that initial performance, you know. Not like other people you could mention.
Not a flat... Oh, OK. Leave her alone. She'll be back.
Never.
She'll be back with a
never
new trainer.
Never be back.
She'll be back. Don't
she
be so
likes
cynical.
Clay Courts, apparently, she said this morning.
He's a lovely lad, Clay Courts.
Tremendous bloke.
Where was I? Yeah, your national winners. We've come to that point. Everybody's doing sweepstakes, of course. I think there is one going on here at Talk Sport. But everybody does, and people do it in the offices and amongst family and whatever. But, you know...
They don't have any change, though. That's the problem.
Picking names... Well, OK, they don't take cards.
No.
Picking names at random has gone on over the years. And people have had some fantastic winners for the most spurious reasons. So if try and pick us your national winner. Not necessarily tomorrow. We're more interested anecdotally in the way you manage to pick a national winner because everybody has a little... I mean, I learned a very valuable lesson at 11 years old. First time I ever... I didn't have a bet myself, but my dad said, here, we'll have a little flutter on the national. I was about 11. Sat there with my mum and dad. And, I don't know, he probably put about 20p on. That was a Paul's win then. So this is 1973. And I thought, I'll have a bet on Crisp. That sounds like a good horse.
Crisp.
So I put me 20p or whatever on Crisp. On the nose. I think that's quite important.
Yeah.
And off Crisp went, set a pace. With two fences left, he was probably about half a mile in
the
lead.
He was so far ahead. You showed me the race before the show.
If you want to go and enjoy it, 1973 Grand National. And he's miles ahead.
Nothing else to do with your time this afternoon.
Red Rum, Okay, if it's a bit quiet. Red Rum is not even in the shot, is he? He's not even in the shot with two, as they approach the
nowhere.
Second from last. And then old Crisp starts to moonwalk. You imagine me at 11, the old bottom lips go.
Oh, you must be.
I'm thinking I'm going to win like £1.20 or something. You know, it's huge money.
I know. What are you going to do?
So I learned a valuable lesson, which is probably why I can certainly take or leave having a flutter most of the time, really, because I learned at 11 years old there are no guarantees. Please gamble responsibly.
Yeah,
but we are interested to hear your your little punting tales for the National and how you did, or a member of the family or mate managed to pick a winner. Because the great thing about it, I mean, I got a 66-1 just at random about 5 or 6 years ago. I only had a couple of quid or whatever. But, you know.
That's why it's a fun betting race.
Yeah, because you never know.
Excuse me one second. I'm just going to call.
Okay. There goes Andy Jacobs. Thank you very much.
But they've made six big changes to the yeah. They have to be careful not to emasculate the race. I know they want it to be safe, and we all want that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's what makes the Grand National the Grand National is its elements of big fences and big fields.
Yeah, but, you know, I think...
You know, why not get rid of the fences and the horses? Just let the jockeys run around Aintree.
Look, times have changed, you know. I think they've got it just about right.
Well, we'll see.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Live from Aintree, Rupert Bell and somebody who's run in a National before, jockey Lizzie Kelly. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
I can hear our old mate Laura singing. Right. I can hear Laura singing in the background there.
Yeah, I'll tell you the song. It's Delicious Ice Cream from Italy. Just one cornetto.
I don't think it is called that, but I know this is close. Anyway, I should have called you Rupert Rioja Bell because we saw the pictures last night. You had a lovely meal, didn't you? At the you were telling us. What's the restaurant called? They sold the Salthouse Tapas.
We nailed it. We nailed it. And Matt, the owner, loves his talk sport, loves Everton, loves horse racing, and he looked after us royally. So
I saw
Izzy thanking him.
I can see all the Rioja stainage all around your mouth, Rupert. The red wine. Not a great look for a man of your calibre, really, is it?
No.
He needs a little napkin or some baby wipes.
You should, like you do with your kid, just lick it and wipe, like your mum used to wipe his mouth.
Oh, you're painting a picture there. No. Good.
Well, he referred to me as his assistant yesterday.
Yeah, well, he deserves it. Yeah,
he
said, my two assistants.
Oh,
he's getting very big time.
What I did discover is also, when walking to the restaurant last night, there was a big sign that says Comic-Con. I have discovered that Lizzie would like to go to Comic-Con. And which I'm thinking, Lizzie, no, why?
Well, it's a bit of fun. I mean, I quite like, well, I sort of said I'm not really that deep in Comic-Con, but I quite like sort of fantasy stuff like Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones and things like that. So I could dress as like an orc and go.
Yeah,
you could.
It could be awkward.
Yeah.
Marvellous.
He could be Gandalf, Rupert, couldn't he? I mean, you could have a fantastic time. That would be.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We're learning
a
lot about you, Lizzie. Isn't that,
Gollum, actually.
You're into
especially with the coughing.
Yeah. So we've learned today you're into the Lord of the Rings and stuff like that. Yesterday we found out you're a big fan of grime and drill music.
Really?
Oh, yeah, Lizzie. She loves all of that.
A multifaceted personality.
Yeah, that's right.
Something for
it's
everyone.
Good to be like that.
But we've got nothing to learn about Rupert. He likes red wine. That's just about it, really, isn't it? That's where the mystery ends.
I tell you what I want to ask you, because at Cheltenham this year, it was very notable that Ladies' Day became Style Day. Now, this is always one of your biggest days of the year, Ladies' Day at Aintree. Is it still called Ladies' Day?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
This is one of your bugbears, isn't it?
What?
Ladies' Days. You don't like them?
Could fool me. Yeah.
I don't know. You got away with that one.
Yeah.
I don't see why we should have one day specifically for ladies.
No, I know what you mean.
The good people of Merseyside, today it's warm. Yeah. And so fundamentally, their clothing choice is appropriate for a change. because normally, if they buy the cotton frock and put it on, whether it's minus 50. So I have to say, they've come out in their droves. Laura's still going. My goodness me, she's packing it in today. But it's a great fun day for the people of Merseyside. Yeah. And for once, the weather's half decent.
No, that is good news. That's fantastic.
Yeah. That's first.
I was just saying earlier on, I learned a lesson at 11 years old when I bet on Crisp in the National and Red Rum came in, you know, from miles back to win it. Stephen Mansfield said I did exactly the same thing at a similar age, but I was on Red Rum and I won £1, which, as I said, was a lot of money back then. But yeah, that, and that's up there with the classic nationals, isn't it, Rupert? You would say. Have you got a favourite over the years?
That is an extraordinary performance by Crisp. And poor old Richard Pittman, who rode Crisp, he looks back at that and he can see the horse just sort of struggling. The man's arrived with some product placement about to come.
Here we go.
Quick, cut him off. What's it today?
What? Oh, it's wine.
What could possibly go wrong?
It's coming shortly. But I remember that's one of my first nationals I remember.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a glass of wine after that because I wasn't old enough at that stage. But it was a great race.
I'll always go for 1967. Very Navan.
Yes. Lizzie, have you got a standout one, good or bad?
I'm not able to reel back the years like Rupert is.
No.
But there are races at Grand Nationals I remember. Obviously, AP McCoy's first Grand National victory on Don't Push It. That was fantastic. I was here. I was actually leading up a runner in the race. And Amberley House was another one of my horses I really liked. He was quite a small horse, so back in those days when the jumps were so much bigger, you know, it was amazing to have such a tiddly little horse able to take on these enormous jumps. And of course Rachel Blackmore, when she was the first woman to win the Grand National, that was a fantastic year. I mean,
Did you cry? Yes,
I did. And that was just brilliant. That was just brilliant. But no, I don't kind of have a standout one. I always think every year is sort of
it's
best
a great,
year.
I mean, to the point where Andy's not sure whether to go to the football or watch the national. It's like
Brentford v Sheffield United. Great choice, isn't it?
You'll be watching the dogs from Dagenham, won't you, instead?
Just quickly, I'm going to get to prove how multi-talented Lizzie is. Yeah. We know she likes drill, grime. Comic-Con, but also now to see whether she's any good as a wine connoisseur, as she sups on some Cap Garvey from Christina Ascari.
Oh. It smells very fruity. Would that be about right, Neil?
Neil's off mic. Neil's off mic. We can't get.
Keep going, Lizzie. Oh, look, Lizzie's tasting
now. Yeah, come on. What is it?
I'm supposed to nick it all in
lovely.
One go.
Oh, it's lovely. It's really sweet
and nice.
Don't
drink from the bottle, Lizzie. Put it in the glass.
I always think that fancy wines are always very dry, aren't they? But that's very nice.
Good.
Oh, that's going to keep the cough away.
We are having problems with Rupert's cough.
Well, when he's mid-flow, that's going to get worse, especially in the second race. Well, yes. 500 runners.
It's delicious, Neil. Very nice.
Thank you, Neil. We like a bit of that, but I won't be drinking too much of that until about quarter past four when my job's done.
You say that now. Anyway,
that's complete rubbish.
We will catch up with you later, guys. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, I just think I feel sorry for the Attitude Foundation. That we're so useless. I'm surprised they don't want to make their own picks.
We're doing our best. We're doing our best, Andy. We've had a couple of wins. Let's cross back to Aintree. Our second race in the afternoon almost upon us. And, of course, we have an Aston Villa fan there in Rupert Bell. What do you make of last night, Rupert?
Well, I thought Prince William looked fantastic with his son George walking through, enjoying a night at the Villa.
Did you give him your tickets because you couldn't go? I know you two are mates.
I think he seems to have a better source of tickets than I do. But my young lad did. He went and took a mate in my stead. Once again, 2-0, and we sort of lose the plot a bit. But at least we won. And Ollie Watkins scores again. We're having a good moan about the referee, but every team seems to be moaning about the referees in Europe at the moment, so we're no exceptions. And they score a goal towards the end, which is deeply frustrating. But happy days next week. We're ahead, so fingers crossed that we can make it to the semi-final.
Yes. We've got a question from Terry, the Chelsea fan. Have Bob Bubka and Rupert fallen out? They don't seem to be together anymore on air.
Bob wants to do the nationals.
Yeah, that's quite difficult to Bob to do the racing, isn't it?
Gee, Bob, let's serious operator coming to the chart.
Hey,
he'd
be great, wouldn't he? Hey, Lizzie. That'd be fantastic.
No, wait. Oh, no, we're still good friends, but our paths don't quite cross because obviously I'm keeping an eye on the Masters, and I'd love to see Bob in due course, but hopefully I will catch up with him soon. So we have not fallen out, dear Terry.
Good. Mick from Hounslow says, could you please thank Rupert for his tip for the Masters, Hideki Matsuyama? He's currently 3 over after the first round. He must have been on the vino when he went for that one.
I probably was, because that's fairly normal for me. But I must admit, my two selections have not excelled, and that being Matsuyama and Sagala. They both have not done well. But there we go. Rather frustratingly.
Let's move on to our second race. And this is a big field. What are we looking at, 22 runners, Rupert?
No, luckily only 19 now.
Oh, a few have dropped out. Okay.
So which ones are the non-runners? They are Cam Sinas, West of the Bridge, and Santos Blue are non-runners. So okay, a field of 19. Just going down to the post. There's going to be a little delay to the start of this race.
Lizzie, what do you fancy in this race? Is it quite difficult to find a winner because of the size of the field? I'm looking at the tipsters. It seems Django Bale and Champagne Twist keep coming up in everybody's selections.
Yeah, they're really likeable horses. I've kind of followed Mai Tai for quite a long time. I think that he promises at some stage to win a race like this, a big competitive handicap hurdle. I thought he had a right chance at Cheltenham. He actually ended up finishing mid-div. Theatre Man is interesting. He is a horse who is returning to hurdles after having been primarily campaigned in novice chases this year. I think he might have, he actually fell at Cheltenham behind Shake 'Em Up Harry. I think he might have a good chance in this today. And obviously the Skeltons are well known for doing really well in this race and these kind of races, these very competitive handicap hurdles. She's favourite. Tell you what, there's quite a lot going on. We've had Springwell Boy throwing a bit of a paddy in the parade ring. We've had Sandwich and Davis very nearly falling off Guard Your Dreams on the way to the start. So there's plenty going on in this.
A quick question for you. What is the stable nickname for Katira?
Is this a question for us?
Yes.
Katira.
Think musical.
Think music. Shakira.
Oh, okay. All right. Is that okay?
Well, Katira, if you imagine, you know. Well,
her groom, Katira's groom, calls her Katira.
Ah, okay. I'm not familiar with
her. I told Rupert that and he was very excited.
Really. I mean, I'm surprised you are. She's not grime, is she? She's not drum and bass, is she?
No, but I have very eclectic music taste. Yes, so there we go. There's another one for the locker.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, I picked that. I came up with it.
Yeah. Your knowledge of Shakira's back catalogue is surprising.
Yeah, it certainly is, Rupert. Yeah, actually, what are your musical tastes? I don't know if we've ever... what sort of stuff do you listen to on the...
I'm an old sort of...
I know that, but what sort of music? You're an old... Good job you didn't finish that sentence, so I might have been tempted to finish it for you. Musicals,
yeah.
I feel.
Musical.
Musical theatre, Rupert.
I do love a bit of musical theatre.
Yes, I can imagine.
I can imagine. What's your favourite musical?
Chicago. Loved Chorus Line. But no, definitely annoys my family because they hate it when suddenly people start breaking into song.
Oh, okay.
You know, in musicals. And I love a black and white movie with sort of Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers.
Oh, okay, right,
just
the old
so
one.
So cliche.
Yes.
It's true though, I do. Give me a black and white movie any day. Cary Grant, put him on the screen and I'm there.
Talking Pictures, that's yours.
Yeah, that's it. Talking Pictures. Make your way to that channel. You'd love it, Rupert, all the old films.
I do. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Our producer was on Mystical Power in that last race. It was the 11 to 10 favourites. I doubt if he'll be off to the Bentley
showroom this afternoon.
He got on it about 6 months ago.
He was asking me about that commentary clip that I like about Peter O'Sullivan. It was quite difficult to explain.
One of the staples of the BBC coverage was that what anybody said is over to Melling Road, we get to, over to John Hammer.
And the thing is, I mean, John Hammer, I'm sure he had a perfectly good career outside of this particular day, but you didn't really know him. So you would only see him like once a year.
He camped out on the Melling
what
Road.
What else does he do?
But and then just popped out.
He was here to do more than
that.
We
were asking this afternoon some of the weird flutters you've had and for what reason. One of the listeners, Nick from Littlehampton, said he had a mate who was quite short, who was a bit of an excessive giggler. So he said, when Mini Ha Ha came up, I couldn't resist it. Romped home at 16 to 1.
Wow.
It does. There we are. One of the listeners said he once went to Fairy House in Ireland, not the National Fairy House in Ireland, and there was a horse there called Strides of Fire. And one of the guys there had once had a burning trouser incident. So he said it was too good to be true. Even though it was ridiculous odds, it came in at 150 to 1, he says.
That's mad.
That is bonkers, yeah.
I got a nice little reader's offer for you. It's a great, zip-up compression socks. I can recommend
zip-up socks?
Zip-up, they're perfect for tired and swollen feet and legs.
Wow.
Ideal for a lot of...
I'm not keen on those, a zip in a sock. And
not
get
really.
The old leg hairs,
but this
it?
Is a bit of the claim I really like. These socks can be used with all kinds of shoes. Okay. Yes, they're socks.
doesn't the zip get in the way? Doesn't it?
Well, no, it's only
a blister.
Up the leg. It's not on. You know, it's not on.
Oh, it's not right through
it's
the
not
foot.
Fully on the foot. No.
Okay. You gonna buy a pair, Andy?
No.
I think you should put your money where your mouth is. You're very quick to read these out.
I'm definitely not.
Okay, fair enough.
Thanks very much. I tell you what I did discover this week, and I'm a big fan of Death in Paradise. I think it's a really good show.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
It's been on for years. It was inspired by a sporting tragedy. Did you know that?
No.
This is amazing. It was inspired by the death of Bob Woolmer, who died at the... do you remember?
Yes.
Out in the Caribbean.
Former England cricketer.
And the guy who created
it
just envisaged the idea of an English detective having to go out there and investigate this crime that had
really?
Happened. And that's what led to the creation of Death in Paradise.
Wow.
Fascinating. Yeah. Very tragic thing, of course, but,
yeah,
you know, still.
I never knew that.
Yeah, I thought I'd let you know that.
Do you want a bit of music? I'll play you a bit of music. I'm going to play you this. It is Major Tom by Peter Schilling. Here we go.
Okay.
4-3.
Rip-off of Ground Control to Major Tom.
Well, it was the music to the spy drama Deutschland 83, and Germany asked UEFA if there was any chance that they could play that as their goal celebration music at the Euros, this summer's Euros. It's never really been celebration music for a country before, but as they were hosts, they had a try, but UEFA have knocked them back.
Oh, there you go.
So what would England have gone with? Sweet Caroline, wouldn't they? Almost certainly.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a blessing, really.
Yes.
For everybody but Neil Diamond's accountant, that they decided there wouldn't be any of that going
Neil
on.
Neil Diamond's accountant. First mention for him on TalkSport.
Neil Diamond's accountant in the 3:30.
I guarantee he's never been mentioned on TalkSport before.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Making a welcome return to the studio is comedian and Spurs fan Jake Lambert. Good to see you, Jake.
Hello, good to be back. How are you?
Yes, hey, last time you came in, you spilt a load of water all over the desk.
I know, and they've trusted me again with a glass. That's, I can't believe they've done that. I did
ask them to bring one of those Tommy Tippies in with the lid on, but they've made a mistake there. We'll see what happens. You're on your first national tour.
I am. Yeah, it started last week.
Fantastic. Going well?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I was in Cardiff for the first one, and then I was down in Brighton, and I was in Guildford last week. Last night, I was in Guildford.
What's the scheduling like? Oh, it's not too bad. Leeds...
tickets still available.
Richmond, you're in the same area. At least they're not making you come down south again.
Yeah, that was a shock when I first saw that. It turns out there's another Richmond.
Yes, not the one in Surrey.
No, very nice part of the world. Look at the Georgian Theatre Royal. That sounds fantastic.
I know. And sold out. I don't know. I'm going to have to ask them why they're all there.
Okay.
Maybe they just come because I'm the thing that's on.
You haven't sold out Leeds because you're playing in a wardrobe, according to this.
Yeah, the Wardrobe Theatre.
Oh, okay.
Well,
the Wardrobe Theatre. Okay.
Bigger than it sounds.
Fantastic. So, what's the Sunshine Kid the title of the show? Is there a story behind that or not?
No, not really. But it's just like I wanted to be like I'd like to think quite upbeat, quite optimistic.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to just call it that because it's a bit on the nose.
Yeah.
But I thought something like that, and I've always liked when I was younger. I liked like Billy the Kid, and then like Bill Clinton was known as like the Comeback Kid.
Yeah.
I just wanted my own one.
Something with Kid in it.
I just wanted that, I think. It just sounds cool, doesn't it?
Brian Kidd. That would have been
quite good.
That's gone over my head. Who's Brian Kidd? Should I know that?
He's an old footballer.
Manchester United, Manchester City, a man still with young hair. An absolutely lovely man, Brian. But
absolutely. The Telegraph described you as a joke machine.
Yeah, that's very nice, wasn't it?
Isn't that AI these days? Isn't that really?
Yeah.
Is that your
style? As that as well.
Is it that sort of rapid... Fire one-liners or?
It used to be when I first started. It was nothing but one-liners. But then the problem is, you write a one-liner which could take a day or something to perfect a one-liner, and it's gone in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
But if you write a story, you can at least build that story to be up and take up 5 minutes of the show.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's not very. I don't know. It's not ideal to just write one-liners.
No.
So I started to move to actual jokes and stories together. A bit of both, but Joke Machine's nice.
Yeah, it is nice. Yeah, watching some of your stand-up stuff, do you do some football stuff along the way? I won't blow this one because you might want to tell it live again. Very funny story of a mate going to Tottenham.
Is it in the show?
It can be. I can take requests.
Tottenham going to West Ham, which I thought was funny. But also, I did like the idea you were watching some American sport, weren't you?
I was watching the baseball, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they had a kiss cam.
Oh, yeah, they do that. And, that sort of thing doing American sport. They kind of go round and they get couples to kiss each other.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
It's like a heart, isn't it?
It goes round on the big screen.
And they do it in the NBA and everything.
That's it. Yeah. Everyone, they kiss and everyone cheers. Everyone goes crazy and they love it.
And then sometimes they'll squeeze a marriage proposal into one of those as well, won't they?
And can you imagine that that happening at Millwall or something?
Well, I just think at any football ground, imagine kiss cam. What would you get? Don't do it, mate. Don't do it.
Absolutely, you get what that.
Then you get some horribly sort of sexist stuff aimed at. Whoever.
And they couldn't believe that we didn't have it. So a guy there, after it finished, he was an American guy. Was like, oh, do they have kiss cam at the soccer?
Yeah.
And I was like, no. I was like, we have like CCTV.
That's right. We do have cameras on people. There's no heart, is it? In the shape of a kung fu star or something like that. It is a nice idea. I'm telling you, there are those other things in American sport. I mean, I always thought, like in ice hockey, the idea when a team's on the attack, it might be nice to go dun, dun, dun. Have an organist. Yeah. What do we have? Nobody getting a job. The official organist to Manchester City. You'd be busy, wouldn't you? A lot probably busier than you would be for the average West Ham game.
I noted, though, that all the players in the Masters refer to the fans as the patrons. They're known as the patrons.
They do at the Masters.
The Masters.
Oh, do they?
Only at the Masters. As soon as you walk through that door, you're a patron.
Chelsea, I quite like to be a referred to as a patron.
Would you like to be patronised?
Well, I have been for a long time, in the last 2 years.
I've been at Chelsea over the years, haven't you? So let's have a look. So people can see you all around the country. You end
all
with
over,
triumphant gig in October at London's Leicester Square Theatre.
But And where's like, coming on, actually? That's going on after I'm going to, I'm doing Dubai. Do people right. listen from Dubai to the show?
Oh, big, they love
big,
it.
Big yeah. part of the market, Dubai. Yeah, yeah.
Very much so.
Talk Dubai.
I'm playing the QE2, the ship. They've moved the ship over there. Not for me. But it's over there. And then they've built a theatre.
Is it moored there? That it lives
yeah.
there, does it?
They bought it. And then they've put a theatre on it. And then they've told me to go out there.
I thought maybe you're getting on the old cruise circuit. I'm going to start doing a bit of that.
No chance.
Sounds like a good gig, doesn't it?
No,
glad handing all the... Sitting there in the buffet all day, going out and doing 10 minutes in the evening.
So that, I think, sounds ideal, but I think the problem is the gigs, I think, are really difficult because everyone on the ship is like 80 and above.
Right.
And then they've probably never heard of Kiss Cam. So
no,
that joke's not going to work.
They've heard of Brian Kidd, though.
That's true.
You could, do your Brian Kidd material. I'll write some for
you. Yeah, I'll take your hair comment. They'll love that. But the problem is if the gig doesn't go well, you're then stuck on a ship with them for weeks.
True.
With them going, that's the comedian that died.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's also, right, saying, if it goes badly and then you've just got nothing but water around you, it's quite a risk.
Yeah, that's true.
Have to be very,
you know,
very
people
well.
Coming up to you putting a consoling arm around
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's it.
A shame.
You have to be quite mentally stable to do that, I think.
Now, you're a Tottenham fan.
I am, yeah. So not mentally stable. I'm
no,
a Tottenham fan. It's tough.
And say, Andy was telling us earlier on that the fifth place, automatic fifth place, for the Champions League is slightly in peril after the recent European game, so it depends what happens next week. But so it could come down to a duking it out with Villa for that place, or the possibility of needing Arsenal to win the Champions League for Spurs to get in the Champions League. And said he wouldn't be bothered about that, I guess, but well, I think I might be.
yeah, he's very good at that, isn't he?
Yeah.
But can I just say no comment? Because for my Twitter mentions that would come off the back of this, for the Tottenham or Arsenal fans, I'll just say no comment.
It's difficult. I mean, the last game of the week of the season, Tottenham will play City. So the real possibility maybe of if Tottenham beat City, they could potentially hand the title to Arsenal. But I mean, I've thought about that and I would still want Tottenham to win. I'd only really care about us.
That's good of you, I think. Yeah. I mean, I feel sick to my stomach.
At the thought of it.
Yeah.
I mean, if we were, like, safely home in fourth place, I may have a slightly different attitude. But yeah. I'm sure the players and the manager...
Do you play Villa at all?
We've played Villa twice. They beat us once. We beat them.
Yeah. But, no, I'd just rather that we got everything because we earned it and deserved it ourselves.
Yes.
Can we not just do that? That's what I'd like. We get Champions League because we got top four.
Yeah.
Let's just earn it. If you're going to be playing the best... You have to be good enough.
Yeah.
So let's just do that.
What do you think Ange would be like in the front row of a comedy audience? Do you think he would be... I mean, he likes a laugh
now and
again.
He'd be looking down, I'd say.
He would be looking down.
Yeah.
He wouldn't look you in the eye, would he?
I don't know, but I'm supporting Michael McIntyre on his... We're doing the O2 tonight.
Wow.
And all weekend. And then we're doing Wembley later in the month. And I'm hoping some of the Tottenham players... Because obviously Michael's a big Tottenham fan.
Daniel Levy might come. If you can get a laugh out of him, you'd be
doing
you've
done very well.
They're playing tomorrow morning at 12:30. They won't be there tonight.
No, they're not probably... What? Not the players.
No, but we're there tomorrow... We're there tonight, tomorrow and Sunday.
Okay.
And then we're doing Wembley in a few weeks. If they're listening, come along.
No, tomorrow night,
You might get Ange to come along. He was at the theatre a little while ago. Went and watched a bit of Shakespeare. He invited him along to a bit of Shakespeare. I can't remember
what it was. Same as stand-up comedy, though, is it?
I don't know. What's the higher art than
Ange? My stuff's quite highbrow.
Honestly. 03717.
Yeah. No, I don't mean it that way.
Okay, well, it sounded like you did.
I didn't mean it.
Coming in
and
insulting all the guests. It's great, isn't it? So, jakelambertcomedy.com.
That's the website, yeah.
That's where we can find all of the dates for the tour, right around the country, up in Scotland as well, up in Edinburgh and Glasgow and beyond.
Yeah, Aberdeen. That's it. I think that was the beyond. Was Aberdeen.
That'll be fun, though. Michael McIntyre supporting.
Yeah, we've been all over. We did Australia last year. This year we've already done... We've been to Dubai. We've done Norway. Denmark, and we're going off to, I think, South Africa.
Blimey.
So we're going all over. Yeah, it's very nice.
Good
and then,
stuff.
But the problem is, like, tonight we're doing the O2, but the amount of people I'm playing to tonight is more than are coming to the entire of my tour.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Michael
started on this show many, many years
ago. Michael came in a couple of times very, very early on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and came on a couple
of times. Are you
taking
credit for his career?
Yeah, we are.
Very much so.
Yeah.
That's right. I just think he'd be nothing without us. Yeah, just remind him of that before he goes on tonight. No, do give him our love.
I haven't seen him for
a long time.
And I'll come back. When I'm doing Aero 2, I'll still come in.
Yeah, that's good of you. That's good of you.
You won't, but that's very nice of you.
Drop us like a stone.
They all do.
Hawksby and what? No, not for me. Thanks, no, not for me. Just get me on Jonathan Ross and Graham Norton. All the best, Jake. Lovely to see you.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me. And the water stayed in the glass.
It did.
Well done.
Progress.
You haven't got out of the studio yet, though. Anything could happen. The Sunshine Kid, Jake's UK tour. Go and check out all the dates at jakelambertcomedy.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
What's on the social calendar tonight, Lizzie? Where you're trying to shake Rupert off from this evening?
So it's Fazenda tonight.
Oh, very nice.
Which is, we've been referring to it as Meat Night,
right.
Which possibly doesn't really flatter it, but it's a kind of all you can eat.
Get yourself into trouble.
All you can eat kind of buffet where they bring round these big joints of meat.
Churrascaria,
slice
very
it
nice.
Off. Yeah, lovely, brilliant.
Lovely, and what goes very well with lots of meat, Rupert?
Yeah.
Yeah. My trouble is, last night I bought a bottle of wine, but the waitress, because I was the only one drinking it, she looked, Neve in the salt tapas bar looked at me and said, "Are you sure you want a bottle?"
Well, she was very concerned that you were ordering a bottle of wine for a table of four, but only one glass.
I got an absolute telling off. It was like my mother was in the room, but Neve, the charming waitress, she was only had my best interests at heart.
They don't call you the Malbec kid for nothing. You two will be back tomorrow, won't you, for the Grand National commentary.
We will indeed. Hopefully get a good night's kip tonight, stay off the wine, and then be ready to deliver the goods at about 4 o'clock tomorrow.
Good luck with that.
Good luck.
Okay, have a great evening, guys. Great to have you commentating on the show again. We'll catch up with you soon. Thanks very
much.
Thank you.
Rupert Bell, Lizzie Kelly there. A couple of days of fine commentary. So they're back tomorrow afternoon for the National.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, Andy, you've got the Monday night game. We didn't talk about it with Stan because you are the live on Talk Sport Chelsea Everton. It's always that long weekend when you're not playing, isn't it?
I know, you know. But there's so much sport this weekend, it doesn't really matter.
And yes.
I'll enjoy the other football. I kind of, you know, I don't want to say I've given up, but, you know, taking 2 points from Sheffield United and Burnley when you were ahead 4 times in the 2 games. It's just
want the season
it.
To end.
Is
there enough
of it?
We've still got a cup semi.
Sick of it. There's an interesting
you're still in the cup, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. Good luck with that.
That'd be fake. Well, you're still alive in the City. FA Cup. Still something to play
no
for.
No chance.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
We'll get you in the dressing room before kickoff then.
You never know. I mean, you know, we have drawn with City twice this year.
Oh, there we are then. You go McCracken game. The one at the Bridge was a great match.
Yeah, both games were great. It could go to pens. Who knows?
Yeah.
But this is very useful. I've been reading this from Japan. And it says that if you are upset, a study in Japan has found that writing down your reaction to a negative incident on a piece of paper and then shredding it is a very good way of getting rid of anger. So I might try that next time. Well, I'll try that on Tuesday morning after Chelsea have lost.
If Chelsea have lost, you'll just quickly write it
all
down.
And say, isn't that annoying?
Yeah.
And then I'll shred it.
I imagine there'll be a few more expletives in there than that, I'll be guessing.
You might be right.
So, I think we'll all give that a try, Andy, and then stick it in the shredder, and then you feel like you're done with it.
Yeah.
I can see the psychology behind that.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
Well, that'll be a little tip if your team's in action this weekend.
Get a shredder.
And you're expecting to lose. Just get it out of your system, write it all down, and then get it in the shredder, and then it's done with, and you won't have to dwell on it.
Is that the equivalent of put it in the mixer?
I think it probably is.
Okay.
Our guests next week include, on Monday, actually, I'll be here with Perry, and he's off on Monday. Perry Groves with me. Danny Kelly, of course, will join us. Andy Brassel around Europe. Jar Wobble, John's going to join us. Musician, public image.
Artist.
Indeed, artist, yeah. John is going to join us for a bit of a chat. He's a big Spurs fan. And Paddy McGuinness makes a welcome return. So it's always good to see Paddy. We'll be chatting to him, myself and Perry, on Monday. We bid farewell to our assistant producer today, who's done a fantastic job.
Been great.
In recent years for us. As always on this show, he's been booted upstairs. He's going to get a producer's job of his own, which we're all absolutely delighted with. So we wish Jamie well. He's done a cracking job for us over the years, and we do appreciate it. And, he's off to pastures new, although working evenings will mean he won't be able to go and watch Watford on evening games.
But that is
that is a blessed release, certainly after the last two we went to.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll reconvene. Actually, I'm with Perry on Monday. You're back on Wednesday.
Wednesday,
aren't you? Andy's back on Wednesday. But I'll be here with Perry, and Danny Kelly will be joining us. Andy Brassel, as we reflect on all the big games in the Premier League and beyond. Do hope you can join us from one. If not, the podcast will be available at four. Until then, have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.